Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We got Broncos football tomorrow. Oof, come on. I love it.
2 o'clock, Mountain Time.
2 o'clock, on the dot.
Perfect.
All right. Can't wait, man.
Drilling out? Tomorrow?
You know what?
Get your ribs going
tomorrow.
Or something.
So I'm going to do that on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, taking the family to Brothers Barbecue for a big dinner. And I just got to give a big shout out to, you know, we do a lot of business with Brothers Barbecue through
love
the year.
Love Brothers Barbecue.
They are
my
the best.
Favorite barbecue around.
And they're called Brothers Barbecue because Chris O'Sullivan, Nick O'Sullivan, they're brothers. They, you know, got this thing off the ground like in the late 90s, and I got such an awesome handwritten note from Chris O'Sullivan this past week with a gift card and really, really awesome, nice gesture. So huge shout out to Chris O'Sullivan. We'll be at your spot this weekend with the family using the gift card that you gave me. Can't appreciate the words you wrote to me this past week enough. So if you know Chris, let him know we gave him a shout out.
Awesome. Love brothers.
All right. Pat Shurmur, Stoke, gave some insight into how he plans to manage his quarterbacks in the first preseason game tomorrow. He was asked, has he decided who will play Saturday and just how much?
Coach just mentioned we're going to discuss that tonight. I mean, how much time everybody's going to play. You know, as you get ready for a season, each player needs different things. And so we'll decide that as we go. We as coaches tend to think more is better than less in everything, but we're also going to be smart with all our players to make sure they're ready to roll when we play the Giants. And part of the preseason obviously involves the preseason games, which are very important, in my opinion, for a lot of the guys on our roster, and maybe a little less important for some. And Coach will kind of go through that with you when he's made a final decision on all the players.
Okay, didn't tell us anything. They're going to talk tonight.
He's good at that.
Yeah. Was this yesterday audio?
This is yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so
after practice.
Last night, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, we'll see. I guess we'll see what it looks like. And then, you know, how long do you leave? How long does Teddy play? I mean, that's a question for me because we know Drew's starting. He's going to be playing with the ones. How long does Teddy play after that? Do you leave him out there for a long extended period of time, or do you just get him a couple series and then get him out, right? I mean, you don't want your potential starting quarterback playing with backup offensive linemen. Usually those guys are not very good and don't do a good job of protecting. That's just the way it is across the NFL. It's hard to find good quality starting offensive line. Backup offensive linemen usually are not very good in the NFL. Like, that's got to be a topic of conversation. You know, we're going to talk about it and talk things through and how much we play certain guys. But, you know, Teddy this week and then Drew next week. How much do you want your potential starting quarterback playing behind a makeshift second group up front?
You said earlier you're going to be fired on all cylinders today. And I'm going to be honest. I didn't believe you. But I think you're making a great point, and it goes back to yesterday and you and I having the conversation. Does the coaching staff, after 2 weeks of watching the two candidates go for the same job, do they have a lean? And if that lean is Teddy, could tomorrow night and the lack of snaps that he gets be a tell?
Right. And then you can fast forward to next week and kind of compare it to what Drew gets. With the second group.
Right. If we don't know by then. Now, I don't think we will. I don't think we will know by then. Unless Drew, like, really falls on his face.
Oh, no. No, they're not going to tell us before Seattle. No chance of that.
No,
right?
None, right?
None.
You're probably right.
They like to drag these things on, and I think once you've already gone down the road of letting Drew start, you might as well just go down the road of letting Teddy start one game and then just, you know, make the decision at some point after that. Like, they're not going to fast forward this thing. That's not the way they roll.
Just call it. Just call it off.
Right.
Even if they know who they're going to go with.
Right.
And it's best for the football team to just call it.
Optics and, you know.
Probably still not going to do it.
Silly games and all that stuff.
Playing silly.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it looks. We'll see how it looks. I'm going into tomorrow with a totally open mind.
Oh, I can't wait. I get to, you know, sit there and watch Broncos. It's preseason, but, man, it is fun to watch, you know, certain guys, like under-the-radar guys. Like I said, Royce Freeman, Javonte Williams, you know, who could be an absolute, you know, I mean, just stud in this league and you know, the next great Broncos running back. Pat Surtain. There's some good things to watch and some good clues to gather. You know, where, you know, will we have the next TD on this football team? Mm. You know, Terrell Davis or Rod Smith, you know.
Talk to me.
So, Chris Harris Jr., just walk, you know, not walk on, but a free agent that makes the team and makes a huge impact.
Yeah.
I mean, that the great stories like that, and you know, we'll be able to get a glimpse of it firsthand tomorrow.
Speaking of walk-on, did you see that story with BYU football?
Yes, they're paying for all the walk-ons or something like that.
Because of the name, image, likeness switch-up, it's now full-blown. You can just kind of do what you want. Utah-based Built Bar, like health bars.
Yeah. Have you ever had those?
I have not. I've heard advertised on a podcast I listen to. Like over and over, but they say how great they are.
This guy advertised for them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's right. I love them. They're good. Yeah.
Heard great things.
I'll get you a bar or two.
Yeah, give me a bar or two.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're based out of Utah.
Based out of Utah. And it was a really cool, the video, if you haven't seen it, just Google it. It'll come right up. I mean, it's a relatively big story of like, hey, young man, stand up. You're going from a walk-on, Built Bar's giving you a full scholarship. Like, oh! We've seen videos like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Walk-ons turn full scholarship athletes. Say, hey, you too, you're getting a full scholarship. Matter of fact, every single walk-on, stand up right now. There's 36 of them.
What?
36 walk-ons. At
36?
Yes. And they said, everyone's now on full scholarship. And you talk about a room popping? It's like Stone Cold's music hit in 1998.
Woo!
I mean, just
what happened in 98?
Full-blown chaos.
Yeah?
Chaos. And these guys, it was so cool to see the other scholarship athletes, how happy they were for their teammates.
Yeah, I mean, that's your brother. But that's so cool because, I mean, just imagine being one of those young men and all of a sudden you're told you have a scholarship. I mean, how cool is that? That's what it's all about.
That's awesome, man.
And also another one is walk-ons. There's a restaurant, a bar, sports bar, started, I think, in Louisiana. It's called Walk-Ons, and it's kind of gone, like, around a little bit more, I guess. But they're also doing a thing where they're providing, I don't know what it is, but scholarships for walk-ons.
Really
cool.
Which
is cool. Like, these are the good stories.
Think about how that changes someone's life. Like, if you, especially if you don't, like, have help from your parents, and if you do, man, you are blessed. But if you don't, student loans are with you for 2 decades? I mean, some cases, like, longer. College is so expensive. Like, even to go to DU here, what's the tuition at DU? Mm. You know, room and board. I'd be willing to bet it's $65 a year.
Mm.
I mean, college is expensive. So those young men's lives will be changed. In the moment, it's amazing. But you truly can't appreciate it until later in life if you're paying those bills.
Right.
So really, really cool
story. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Really cool.
But, I mean, that's where this is, like, a positive for me.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what you could do for those individuals.
Yep. Really cool. Here's more Pat Shurmur from yesterday after practice. Will the play calls be different with Teddy versus Drew?
I don't think so. You saw Teddy throw a nice crossing post today, and he threw that with, you know, great. Yeah. And so I think offensively, all the throws in your offense are really designed for, at least in our mind, for both quarterbacks that we have. So, no, we don't call them differently as you compare Teddy to Drew. Their styles are probably a little bit different, you know, and their attributes are a little bit different. But I think you can call any play with both of those guys in our package.
I mean, I agree with that. Look, I mean, I wanted to talk about this. I think it was yesterday, and I forget who was bringing it up. Maybe Kliss. I think Kliss brought it up. Like, Teddy can't make all the throws, so you got to limit him, like, as far as down the field passing. I mean, seriously, we're acting like Teddy Bridgewater can't throw the ball 30 yards, right? I mean, it's like maybe he doesn't have the arm strength that Drew Locke, but oh my goodness, acting like he's a 50-year-old out there that can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field. I mean, give me a break here. I mean, please stop it. Teddy can throw the football, right? It might not have the zip of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but the guy can throw the football. He can throw the football deep. Everything doesn't have to be called differently for Teddy Bridgewater because his arm strength is so weak. I mean, please stop with that nonsense. And I, Kliss was rambling, so I didn't, you know, want to interrupt him. I was trying to be a good host here, but it's like we got to stop that. Now, he doesn't have the arm strength that Drew has, but he can throw deep comebacks, you know, 18-yard routes to the sideline. He can throw go routes. He can throw 50-yard deep balls. I mean, he can throw the football, okay? He's an NFL quarterback. Not the strongest arm, but he can still throw the football. I guarantee you the guy can throw it 60 yards, right? So let's stop that. Doesn't have the arm strength that Drew has, but the guy can throw the football just fine. You agree? Disagree?
That was a nice little rant, man.
But I was thinking about it yesterday.
Well, I could tell it was a little bit pent up in you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, here on a Friday.
Piss and vinegar out there.
That's right.
Piss and vinegar from Stoke.
Thank you.
That's promo audio.
Yeah, let's promo it up. Doggone it.
I love it.
I mean, but do you agree? Do you agree with that? It's kind of, you know,
Brance.
And I think
you're. Thanks, Brant. yes, it's a narrative.
Kliss has said that a couple times too.
Yeah, it's a narrative that's probably overstated. Do both guys have narratives that's overstated?
Well, what's Drew's? I mean, Teddy can't throw the ball over 20 yards apparently. But what is Drew's that could be overstated?
He's like the gunslinger. Like he's, you know,
right. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right on that. I don't see him slinging the ball all, you know. I mean, how do you get that label? Because you throw a lot of interceptions?
I think so. Right? They used to say that about, like, Favre, who's, right, like, the all-time interception leader. Like, he just, you know, Jay Cutler, he's a gunslinger. He's going to throw it around. He's going to throw three touchdowns, might have two picks. Never know what you're going to get.
Takes chances. But I think to be a gunslinger, like, some of those chances have to work. Right? I mean, like, more chances have to work than not. Like, you will turn the football over because you take chances and you throw lasers and darts into tight windows. Like, oh, I can't believe he made that throw. Throw the ball across your body and I haven't seen a ton of that from Drew. I mean, maybe that was his style in college, but I haven't seen a ton of, like, just rolling, like, off script kind of. That's kind of, to me, off script stuff.
Yeah.
You know, gun, like Patrick Mahomes, gunslinger to me. I mean, he just slings it all over the football field, right?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, off 1 foot, throwing it all the way across his body to Tyreek Hill, Jay Cutler, Brett Favre, ultimate gunslinger. I, you're right. Drew Locke's not a gunslinger. He's not a gunslinger.
But if you're a gunslinger with more bad than good, just what not a good cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, look.
You're right.
He's got an opportunity to put some of this narrative to bed tomorrow.
Huge, huge, huge day for him.
Just go out and play great.
Huge day.
All right, and he spoke about it. He's got the opportunity tomorrow. It's massive. And he dished Drew Locke. He dished some thoughts on it. We'll get to it next.
Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
That gunslinger.
Yeah.
What a massive opportunity for Drew Locke tomorrow. Is it his only opportunity?
No, I mean, will it be his last opportunity? I mean, no, it's not his only. He's had a lot of opportunities. I mean, so it's not his only opportunity, but will it be his last real opportunity? I think that's the question.
And that's kind of what I was like when I say only opportunity within this camp and within the most impactful spot that he's going to be put in.
You phrased that a lot better. You know, I mean, once I helped you get there, that was a much better asked question.
It's Friday.
Right?
It's Friday.
I mean, you're calling me. I mean, like.
Wait.
What was your night last night? I mean, are you okay this morning? Like, you feeling all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're moving a little bit slow, and your questions are a little bit off today, so
I disagree.
Maybe get a bigger coffee next time.
I disagree.
I don't know what it is.
I disagree.
Hydrate more, make something like that. I share some of my Pedialyte with you if you need. Listen, this is by far, the best opportunity, and this might be this is the opportunity that will make or break Drew Lock. End of story, end of game. Everything is riding on tomorrow for Drew Lock.
So when I said it's his only opportunity, it's not too far from the truth. It's not. You're not going to have it against the Rams. Against Seattle, you're going to be going against the twos, and things can be taken with a grain of salt, although we'll still be evaluated.
And it might be game over by then.
It could be.
It might be called.
It could be.
Might be like that referee. You think you have an extra, you know, soccer ref. Think you have an extra 5 minutes.
Right.
But he says no.
Sundown
says
different.
I need to get to the bar. After 2 minutes. Like, he called it early. What happened? Right? Could be like that. Vic could call this thing early.
Tomorrow for Drew, I don't think we're overstating it. In terms of his career, it could be a mini Super Bowl. I mean, how much more opportunities like this is Drew Lock going to have moving forward? We are vying to be the starting quarterback. There's only 32 teams in the league. You've already had an opportunity that lasted a season. You somehow have another opportunity just to beat out Teddy Bridgewater, and you get game number one against a defense that you've seen for the last 2 days. I mean, considering the circumstances here, we've talked about this on and off. It's teed up for Drew here.
This is, sounds like the same conversation we had a few years ago about Paxton Lynch. And then, you know, does he realize how valuable tomorrow's game is? Because will he ever have another opportunity like this moving forward? Not if he doesn't win this competition. Unless Teddy, you know, doesn't perform well, he comes in and plays well, obviously, then he will. But this might be it. This might be it. You know, everything is riding on the line for Drew Lock tomorrow. If he goes out there and doesn't play well, Zach, it's probably game over for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, if he throws an interception or turns the football over, same old Drew. Right? I mean, that's what the coaches are going to be thinking.
Yep.
It's what a lot of fans are going to be thinking.
Yep.
And now he put himself in a position where, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome that and win the job and pass Teddy Bridgewater to be the starting quarterback. I don't think he'll be able to do that. He's got to play clean football, and he's got to play good football.
And when you say clean, zero turnovers.
Zero.
It's got to be zero.
Got to be zero. Got to be zero. But I also think he needs to be aggressive because he needs to go out and win this job.
Right.
Can't be, you know, you can't just, you know, be bouncing around the ring and let this thing go to the scorecard. Right. I mean, you need a knockout. You need so you got to get in there and mix it up in the last round.
And that's something that I have wondered about with Drew this preseason so far in training camp, that we're seeing a lot of these plays blown dead. These sack plays. We're seeing Drew say into microphones, it's been emphasized to me in the building, I need to take care of the football.
Right.
Is he trying to, like, tailor his game so much for what they want to just not be dead last in the league in turnover ratio, and he's not being himself?
Right. He can't hold the football too long. He can't take sacks. Got to be able to throw it away when it's not there. Not turn the football over. And you still need to make plays, though. You can't just be Mr. Conservative back there. That's not going to work. You know, you got to go out there and still be aggressive and make plays down the football field. And if he does that, now, hey, come in here on Monday and say, all right, I hope he does that. I want to eat crow.
Right.
I want to eat crow.
Yep.
I've said for the last 2 weeks this thing is Teddy's. I would love it. I would love it. But he's got to go out there and play well. Can't turn the football over, and he's got to make some plays. Can't wait, man.
Can't wait. Tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock, someone on the RamosLaw.com text line says, Vic can call it early, just like Schlereth did with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. Talk to me.
Smear campaign day 4.
Mm.
Against Stink for getting our hopes up that Aaron Rodgers was coming to Denver on draft night.
Man, remember that?
Instead, we have a 50-50 competition between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Instead, we're talking about how many interceptions Teddy Bridgewater threw yesterday, how many interceptions Drew Lock threw 2 days ago.
Oh, Lord.
We could have had Aaron.
Could have had Aaron.
Hmm.
All right. Von Miller. We'll get back into some of the Drew Lock audio here shortly.
My guy.
Von Miller.
My guy.
It's your guy.
It's my guy.
Patched it all up. All right. A lot of patching up going on this week around here.
Yeah.
Von Miller says he wants and needs to play in the preseason. But will he and Vic Fangio be on the same page? Von talked about it. Play it for you next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Before we get into this Von Miller audio, I want to read you a text from the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. They say, playing conservative... You're talking about the quarterback battle, of course. It says playing conservative is going to get one of these guys the job. The double standard is crazy. Is there any merit to that? That, like, the reason Teddy would get the job is because he's just a little bit more conservative than Drew. But when Drew's trying to be conservative and, you know, getting plays blown dead and stuff, it's more a knock against him.
Well, if you're going to be conservative, you got to be successful doing it. You know, whatever you do, you got to make it work. That's not really Drew's style, obviously. You know, he prefers to open it up, but he realizes that he can't be that type of quarterback if he's throwing interceptions and turning the football over. So, I mean, there's a fine line there for Drew to try to navigate and walk. I mean, Teddy's been the more conservative quarterback his whole career. I mean, he's that type of quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the throw the football all around the yard type of quarterback. But what I'm saying that Drew has to go out there and not just play conservative. He's got to make plays. That goes back to our thought that Drew has to go out there and win this thing. He can't let it be close, tick for tack. But he can't be like, oh, you know, 12 for 15, 85 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I don't think that type of stat line's not going to win Drew Lock the job. And then Teddy Bridgewater goes out next week, 13 for 17, 100 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Then I think this thing is going to go to Teddy. Going to go to the scorecard. Teddy's going to win it because of what Drew has done here with Pat Shurmur the previous year. He's going to lose if it goes to the scorecard. He's got to knock him out. That's why I'm saying he's got to wow. He's got to do some wild things. He can't just be Mr. Conservative Drew and win this job. Not how I view this thing.
In the three seasons where Teddy got to start a bunch of games, so like last year, he got to start a bunch of games for one team. The year before, he only played 5 games. Now, I don't want to be dismissive of that. He had an awesome roster there in New Orleans. He threw 9 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. But there's 3 years where he's played 12 games or more. These are his numbers from those 3 years.
Talking about Teddy Bridgewater.
14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. It's just like you're just nudged into the positive with touchdowns.
But nothing to get you excited about.
No,
I'm with you.
In today's day and age, it's so uninspiring. It's just so uninspiring. The reality is that, you know, the way that it's trending And God, I mean, hopefully, here's the hope that we come in here on Monday, and this is, I'm speaking for myself because some people don't want to see Drew Lock ever play quarterback for the Broncos again. Okay? Given the structure between these two, don't put me in that camp. My hope is that we come in here on Monday like this whole thing just got hit the reset button.
Yeah.
The reset button's been hit because Drew Lock led two successful drives. One of them ended up in a field goal. The other ended up throwing a touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy. And we need to just recalibrate this thing.
That would be great.
That's the hope.
Yeah. I would love for that to happen and have some positivity around the quarterback position and positivity around Drew Lock and what he could be here. Hopefully that's what happens. I think Teddy gets that label too, Zach. Because conservative. When you hear conservative and check down, you think take care of the football. You think, you know, game manager. And he hasn't done a good job of that.
He has. He really hasn't.
Not at all.
He hasn't been leading. He didn't lead the league in picks like Drew, but he's not that much better.
Right. But I think where he edges Drew out is because he's a veteran. You know, you got the veteran quarterback label. And I think when you look at coaches, they fall in a trap of, okay, well, that's a safer quarterback. You know, that's a veteran quarterback. He'll be able to handle certain situations better than Drew. And he doesn't have the bad history.
No, he doesn't have the bad history.
So he's got here. So he's got those couple things working for him, I think, that give him an edge. And if it's close, that's why it's going to Teddy.
And I think he's got one more thing working for him that you didn't mention there. That two different times in his career, when everything is right around him, you've been able to win with him.
That's right.
And we just simply don't have that with Drew. When he was in New Orleans, he went 5-0. And in 2015, he was the quarterback of an 11-5 football team that just had the right dynamics where he didn't have to do a bunch of heavy lifting.
Those are big positives for him.
But I'll say this. Do you know how many fumbles he had in that season when they were 11-5?
Six.
Bridgewater. Eight.
Oof.
That means your quarterback is fumbling every other Sunday. You know how many he had last year? 15 games?
Six.
So, like, I can tell you that, like, yeah, when everything's right around, but he still is not, he is so far from this, you know, you got the conservative label, I guess, but it's like, you know, it's, expect turnovers too. Expect turnovers with Teddy. I mean, it's just, there's no running from it. Both of these guys have fallen short. And this is why, like, I swear to God, guys, every day I get told that I hate Drew Lock, and then someone else will tell us we hate Bridgewater. The reality is that they're both so far removed from what we know now from good enough that give you a chance Sunday after Sunday to win football games. And this is the competition. So some of you guys think there's an agenda, but there's really not. I'm just not inspired by any of these two guys. And I go all the way back to how I felt, you know, when Bridgewater, or just before Bridgewater arrived.
No, it's not a lot to get excited about, certainly. They've both been underwhelming this training camp. Both had the good days, both had some really bad days. It's a situation that you're in when you have a quarterback competition, usually. Usually this is what happens. It's not much separation. Unfortunately, when you don't have a guy and you have looked for a guy now for, you know, since Peyton Manning, really, these are the situations that you're in. And it's going to be underwhelming from that position. You hope whatever quarterback it is can just manage it enough. But we've been down these roads before here since, you know, 2015. And it's never turned out to be good, where you're just trying to roster build and plug in a quarterback. It's a hard thing to do. You know, things have got to be, perfect.
It's got to be great.
Great around the quarterback.
2015, that roster was great.
Special.
Great. And it was very, very special. So it was an all-time roster. And they still had to win 11 of their 12 football games by 7 points or less. it's hard to win
healthy.
That way.
They
stayed
were very
healthy,
fortunate.
Got
Utah
bounces.
A healthy football team. Yes.
So it's you know, we'll see if the roster, because we know it's good. We just don't know how good. Could you win games like that 17-14 and win 8 games by a possession or less? We'll see. And tomorrow is going to be our biggest indicator of what it could be. Tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock, against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. Speaking of being in Minnesota, we will circle back to the Von Miller audio, I promise. But after watching the last 2 days of joint practices in Minnesota, what was the biggest takeaway from these quarterbacks? Troy Rank was there, and he'll join us next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
After watching the last 2 days of joint practices in Minnesota, what was the biggest takeaway from the quarterbacks? Troy Rank was there watching every single rep, and he joins us now, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Troy, welcome back to the show. When it came to the quarterback play, the last 2 days, how would you sum it up for someone like me and Stokely who weren't able to be there?
Yeah, I channeled Eminem watching it saying, will a real quarterback please stand up? One of them, please just take this job. It is amazing that every time one of them plays well, the next day he craters. And there's just not this consistency. There has been no real separation. Teddy was slightly better on Wednesday, had a touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy that may or may not have been a sack. I do know that Drew Lock did have a pick that was a pick. It wasn't imaginary. It happened. And then Thursday, Teddy had 2 brutal interceptions, and then he came back with a nice pass to Handler, but those 2 turnovers could not negate it. So Drew Lock didn't do a lot Thursday, but he still didn't turn the ball over. So what my takeaway is, it is close. I continue to insist it may become a philosophical decision. Do you want the veteran who's played more and won games for Pat Shurmur, or do you want the young kid with the higher upside? It's got more explosiveness. My concern is, if Locke wins it, they're going to try to get him to be a better version of Teddy, and you take the wag out of the puppy dog's tail. I don't want Drew to be Teddy. He has to take care of the ball better, but I don't want him to be Teddy. And so that's why this quarterback thing is confusing. Shurmur keeps saying the offense fits both of them. I think it does, but you can't call the same plays for both of them. They don't have the same strength, so I need to see separation, and I'm hoping we see at least some clarity in that regard in terms of Saturday. If Locke goes out, puts his foot down, has a touchdown drive, we'll see. But there's just no clear separation. I have Teddy slightly winning so far this summer, but not by any margin that's discernible.
Troy Rank joining us from Minnesota. Troy, has Vic spoke about how much these guys will play the quarterbacks and also guys like Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, how much they will play tomorrow evening?
Yeah, he's been a little vague about it, but he has spoke to it. I asked him, I think it was yesterday, about can we expect the quarterbacks to play like a quarter each? Because he said last week that they would play more than Rippon would play. So I was thinking in quarters. He was thinking, you probably know this, Stoke, as a coach in terms of snaps. So it seems like Drew Lock, let's say he gets 15 to 20 snaps. So maybe 3 drives, something along those lines, 2 to 3 drives. And then Bridgewater would get his, maybe it's 4 drives for Drew and 4 for Teddy. But it's based on plays. And the first string offense is going to play a little chunk. Maybe they get a full quarter together, depending on how the game goes. With guys like Von Miller, I do not expect Von to play tomorrow. He's got a baby that's due any day, so I'm not, that hasn't happened, but there's not 100% guarantee he's going to be here tomorrow. But he's going to play in the preseason. So maybe he plays a series and then he plays a few series in the second one. But it's not a guarantee. I do not expect Cortland Sutton to play. Tim Patrick, another one, has dealt with injury. Dalton Reisner texted me last night. His knee's fine, but after tweaking it a little bit, I would not be surprised if he doesn't play. Defensively, Stoke, to get back to your point,
they don't seem as concerned about the snap count for the defensive starters. Offensively, you're going to see the starters play more because they've got to get into a rhythm and they've got to stop stinking. Honestly, let's be honest. They got to be better and they can't look back at these games because we listened all last summer and early fall about them grousing about no training camp,
yep.
no OTAs,
yep.
no preseason. Well, here it is. So I don't want to hear about September 12th, how we didn't have enough time to get ready. That's on you.
Troy, Stoke and I have talked about, you know, from a Drew Locke standpoint in taking this job, he can't win on points because you leave it up to the judges with the scorecards. If he takes it, I think tomorrow, and I really believe this, I think tomorrow is his best and only, and maybe his only real opportunity to land a knockout punch because he's the starter. It's against the defense that he's seen for the last 2 days. He's going up against the ones. Next week, he's going to be going up against the twos, and you look through that with a different lens. And then the following week, it's the Rams, and they don't play anyone as a philosophy. So I think tomorrow, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, not like I'm expecting a starter to be named, but if it doesn't happen tomorrow, I just don't know when it can happen.
I asked him the direct question, inspired, I think it was by your guys' show, about, and I asked him directly, Drew, do you see this as your opportunity to grab the job by the nape of the neck? The old Drew would have told me, absolutely. You know, this is my job. I'm going to take it. The new Drew, who's become more refined and matured, was like, oh, I guess, sure. And I think he was saying that more for the cameras, and I understand that, but I agree with you completely, Zach. This is a huge opportunity, just like a golfer, to go out there and put a 65 on the board and let the field chase him. If he goes out there and shoots the 78, you know, 79, how would he then win it back in Seattle unless Teddy craters? He would almost have to win it by default, which, again, if you're watching training camp, that's not out of the equation because that's happened. You know, basically, that's been the theme. But you're right. If he doesn't play well tomorrow, he leaves himself vulnerable to not having enough time left to win the job. Because what could he show in the practice leading up to Seattle to overtake Teddy if Teddy has a great, you know, quarter and a half against the Seahawks? So I think it's a big moment for him. They've got to score. I mean, if that's not his fault, it's not a touchdown, there's a drop. But for me, if he's in there four drives, they got to be thinking in terms of like 10 points. If he comes out of the game with no points, That's an indictment on the offense, and he's leading it. So I just think he needs to think in terms of two scores somehow, some way.
Troy Rank joins us. Troy, last one for me here, and the one thing Drew can't do tomorrow is turn the football over. He can't turn it over. He's got to take care of the football. My question, Troy, is outside of the quarterback position, who are you most looking forward to watching tomorrow? Who has to prove something? What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, we got to see what's going on with the right tackle. It's not something that I'm going to be, you know, with binoculars on. I'll ask Columbus and Schlereth about that. But I want to see who separates between Massey and Anderson. I'm not sure who starts. It could go either way. I still think Massey's going to end up winning the job with Anderson as the swing tackle. But one guy that really intrigues me in a preseason game, there's two really. You know, I'm writing this. You know, the Dodgers have Mookie Betts. The Broncos have Pookie Hits. That's Javonte Pookie Williams. This guy is violent, but we don't see it because they don't tackle to the ground in practice or in these joint practices. So I want to see him, especially with Mike Boone. He's going to be out 4 weeks, maybe six, with that quadriceps, left quadriceps strain. So is Williams the guy I think he is? I want to see that in a game. I think you're going to see him really shine tomorrow. And Caden Stearns, the safety.
Yeah.
He has turned a lot of heads. In the way he's played, you clearly they're looking, unfortunately, to move on from Kareem Jackson after this season. This could be the beginning when we look back and go, wow, you remember when Caden Stearns, his first preseason game or his first preseason? Because this kid is just, he is just opening eyes. And the final guy would be Seth Williams. With Sutton likely out, Judy's probably not going to play a lot, maybe a series or two. Seth Williams continues to get better. He's built like Sutton. He's a playmaker. He got a taunting call in practice on Wednesday, and I loved it. I get that he can't do that in a game, but this kid plays with confidence, and his confidence is growing day by day.
Hey, Troy, last one. This is just kind of a fun one. I've heard Mike Evans discuss it. I heard James and Sandy discussing it. Vic Fangio went out of his way to do something that he hasn't quite done in training camp, and that's just watch the offense. He's calling plays for the defense typically, and that's where his focus is. He watches the offense on tape. But it's become quite a conversation around here. Do you think that Fangio knows what the narrative is, or do you think that's just a natural coincidence?
Yeah, he doesn't pay attention to us. I can guarantee you that. I've gotten to know Vic a little better, in part because the camp, you get to have a conversation with a person. He loves baseball. He's a real sports guy. He doesn't pay attention to sports talk radio or anything I would write or say, certainly. But it's just Vic realizing, like, okay, now I need to watch the offense today. Yesterday I watched the defense. But I do think, in all seriousness, guys, he's got to be a better – he's got to see this whole team through a wider lens if he's going to survive as a head coach. And if that means every once in a while in a series you say, Ed Donatell, you call this series defensively because I need to go over here and talk to these offensive linemen or my quarterback, I think he's got to do it. I just don't think he can continue to see it so focused on one side of the ball. It would be different if he had Peyton Manning running the offense – and you just know, hey, we're going to be leading and we've got essentially a coach on the field. Their offense stinks by any metric. That's not being unfair.
No.
Those are the sobering facts.
For years.
For me, I just think Vic needs to be much more cognizant. If the offense is getting off to a slow start, he's got to jump over there and say, hey, here we go. I want to see this and this, and this is what we're going to do. Because otherwise, he's just not going to be the head coach at the end of this season. I think we all know that.
Great stuff, Troy. As always, we appreciate your work this week and popping on the shows and relaying what you saw at practice. And you're gonna stay for the game, right?
I am. Hey, Soak, you're back. I see you getting into a truck at the Hall of Fame, just leaving skid marks as I'm waving for a ride. But it's good. No, we're cool.
Troy.
I was like in a Kia. It was more of a moped slash, but it's fine.
I got called up to the big leagues, buddy. I'm sorry I had to leave you in the dust. You know, this is the way it goes sometimes. I didn't realize you were there.
That party had to be fabulous.
I saw you tweet about it. I didn't realize you were right there, but yeah, I got the call up to the big leagues and hopped in the big car, and felt pretty good about it, zooming off.
Love it.
Yeah, I was in a clown car with red shoes just dragging along towards the Civic Center. Now, I'm happy for you, man. What a weekend. That was so much fun. Peyton's speech was amazing.
It was a blast, Troy. And, just with all the guys going in, not just Peyton, but you had Atwater, John Lynch, and then my other teammate, Edgerrin James. I thought it was just...
Edgerrin James had the speech and the line of the weekend. I started with gold teeth and I ended with a gold jacket.
How heavy-handed are you going to get here? How heavy-handed are you going to get?
Thanks a lot, Troy. Have a good night.
See ya.
Appreciate it.
I
oops, I did it again.
Oh, man.
Dadgummit!
Mama, there goes that man.
That's a penalty.
So are there just no lines anymore?
What do you mean?
Are there just no lines?
Time hit. Me and Troy were having a conversation.
Yeah, but
it was within my right to get in there.
The FCC
and I saw you.
Needs a clear focus. You can't have three people talking over one another.
They got it. It's fine. It's there. They can go rewind the tape.
My God.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Good heavens.
No, I didn't realize that Troy was right there. This was on Saturday.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
This was on Saturday, and I was talking to Peyton before. He's like, hey, just ride with me after. I'm going to head out, and we'll go grab dinner with some friends, and then we'll go to Lynch's party, then we'll go to Edgerrin's party. So he was up on stage, and so I was just waiting for the call. Like, got the call. He said, come meet me right outside the front. I'm in a red truck. So I went out front, boom. Jumped in the truck, he had a driver for him, and then we just sped off. But I heard a few media members like kind of off to the side. I didn't realize that Troy was kind of over there.
And he said sped off, and Troy said leaving rubber. Was that actually the case?
No. Just kind of.
Just a little giddy up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Time to go.
I like it. Okay.
But there was something I wanted to hit on there with Troy. I do think that Vic pays attention to what's being said about him, but I think information's relayed to Vic,
right,
maybe about what's being said to, about him and
right,
some of the things, not everything, but some things that maybe, hey, you might want to take a look at this. You might want to change this. I think if I was a head coach, put yourself in a head coach's position, would you go to your, you know, your PR guy, your guy that handles all that stuff and say, hey, man, you know, keep me abreast of what's being talked about? Would you do that, or would you not even care, just bunker mentality, I don't even want to know?
And that's a good question.
Because obviously they have all the information, they're hearing things and know what's being said. Would you want to know?
You want to know what? I feel a little bit conflicted on the answer because I put myself in the job that I have now with you. There are some times that we get talking about something and I purposefully do not want to look at the RamosLaw.com text line.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to be influenced at all. I just want to go and be single track minded and singular focus and da da da. And there's other times I check in on it. So I think that, for me personally, you're asking me the question. I think I think circumstantial. I think there'd be some times where, look, I don't care. This is what I'm doing right here is more important. I don't want to hear anything about anything. And I think there's other times, a time and a place to say, hey, what's the word about town?
Yeah. I guess you can navigate it different ways. I think for the majority of it, I don't care. I don't want to know. Just doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do what I have to do. And, you know, hopefully it works out.
Because here's the thing. So if you're playing good football, guess what? The stuff that people are saying, it's going to be a reflection of a good product.
Of course.
Right? So, like, what does Vic think the conversation or the tone and tenor of conversations are surrounding this football team? Not great. I mean, just not great, because it's the worst stretch of Broncos football in their NFL history. Start winning some games, the tone will change. I promise you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't like listening to other shows because I want to have my own opinion. You know, that's why I don't like listening to other shows. It's the same thing. Like, if I was a coach, you know, I don't want to hear what people are saying. It doesn't matter to me because that can influence you. Don't want to look at the RamosLaw.com text line all the time because, you know, people are saying things. Stop talking about this. Talk about this, do that. You know, no, you got to be you. You got to do your thing, right? So same type of thing. You know, I don't like listening to other people's opinion. I like to have my own opinion, and I don't, you know, want to look at the RamosLaw.com text line all the time, and especially when we're talking about certain things, because that can influence you.
Yeah.
So it's like just have the bunker mentality probably would be the best. And that would be my approach. But every coach is different when it comes to those things. And maybe it is sometimes you're just like, hey, what, you know, what's being said out there during camp? Maybe, you know, once a month, hey, give me a quick recap of,
sure,
of what's going on. What,
sure,
what are people saying? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's unreasonable. I think that probably happens around the league and just different by the human being. A couple things I want to relay here. Did you get to check that Field of Dreams game?
Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Well, I'm so confused by your response here.
Did not.
There was a Field.
I did not. No. That's
Field
no.
of Dreams game.
Yes,
it was
Yankees
true.
White Sox. Yankees White. You asked me if I got to see it. Not true means no.
Oh my god.
I mean, no, I didn't.
Oh,
I mean, I saw it as a walk off. I mean,
did you?
That's not true.
That's right. Thank you.
Did you? Hold on, let's recap.
Okay.
Did you see the Field of Games dream last night? Not true.
Field of Games dream.
Field of Dreams dream.
What is going on here? You're talking about me?
Yeah.
Field of Games dream? What?
Yeah.
Save that audio, please.
I made a physical mistake. All right. I ran back to the huddle. You purposefully dropped the ball. All right.
Well, sometimes you try to throw incompletion. Sometimes I try to drop the ball. Right.
We were actually trying to throw incompletion.
I mean, see? So sometimes I try to drop the ball, Zach. What's wrong with that? You got to practice that.
So I know you didn't watch it. Did you see some of the highlights, some of the imagery?
I didn't know. Not the video, but I read what happened. You know, I know the Yankees hit a couple home runs there in the ninth, and then the White Sox, you know, whatever, had the two-run walk-off, which is awesome. But I haven't seen the video or, like, the pictures from it. I heard it was great.
Check it out. It was.
Yeah.
I didn't like you. I didn't, like, sit down and watch the whole game. The highlights are awesome. The pregame was awesome. The players walking out of the cornfield, it was pretty cool. And to see a walk-off shot and the ball just goes into the corn.
That's cool.
I mean, pretty wild. And just in, that game last night, the Field of Dreams game is the most watched regular season baseball game in 16 years.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Wow.
Baseball needed a little bit of a shot in the arm like this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, baseball needs all the help it can get. Let's be honest. You know, they're fighting an uphill battle. And so the broader conversation is, you know, what's the next step for baseball? Because you can't keep going down this same road. You gotta, you know, change some things up. And I'm sure they realize that whether it's, you know, I like the extra inning stuff that they've been doing. Is that going to be kept? You know, where it's the California tiebreaker where you got the runner on second and to start the inning, a little bit more action-packed, fast-paced. You're not going to see you don't see many 15, 16 inning games like you used to see.
Right.
So, I mean, things like that to make the game more exciting. They have to do something like that. But that's cool. That's cool. They did something different, unique, and it brought eyes to the game.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. Yep, good night for baseball. It sounds like there's speculation pointing to this could be an annual thing, like the NHL does the Winter Classic.
Right, which is cool. Something different, right? Same thing for NHL. They need to, you know, get all the attention that they can. And having the outside games are awesome. Baseball, yeah, you probably should do it once a year.
Most watched baseball game in the regular season in 16 years. Wow.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, Von Miller. Von Miller speaking after practice yesterday, the joint practices. Von stated his desire to play in the preseason to get himself ready.
Yeah, I like to sharpen the knife. I mean, Coach Fangio might be listening. I don't know if I got to play all three, you know, preseason games, the whole game, you know, but I do need to sharpen the knife. You know, there's no doubt about that. I think me and him can both, you know, agree on that. I need to sharpen the knife. You know, I haven't played in over a year, and it'd just be good to get back in the groove. It'd be good to get back in the groove again and just go through the whole pregame motion and just, you know, knock the cobwebs off. Even though that's just a, you know, figure of speech, there are no cobwebs, you know what I mean? I still feel, you know, young and ready to go. So, but the preseason, yeah, I think I need to play a little bit, yeah, for sure.
Sharpen the knife was used a couple times.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. Von's Von. I mean, he's a difference maker. Didn't play at all last year. You know, the year before was not his best year. How much do you risk it? You know, you got to look at risk reward here. Yeah, you want to play a little bit. You want to get going. You want to, you know, knock the dust off, right? I get it. I'm with you. But, man, his value is so important to this football team this year. You're paying him a lot of money. You know, is it worth the risk? That's the question that I ask. Is it worth the risk, the possibility of an injury? Do you not worry? You know, some instances I say, don't worry about it. Just play him. Just play the guys. Let's go. But in the preseason with so much football to be played, I'm almost like, hey, let's go through warm-ups. Do I play you one series? And then that would be absolutely the most I play you all preseason. And I'm almost like, man, let's just get that work in during practice. Let's knock some cobwebs off in practice where it's a little bit more controlled. So I'm hesitant, and I would lean towards no, not true, N-O. Don't play him.
I think there's some risk if you don't play him.
Oh, talk to me.
And you try to go from 0 to 100. Maybe not 0, but from 40 to 100. You know, I just, you know, if you, Slareth in the morning uses the phrase like the kinesthetic awareness. And it's kind of a funny phrase, but it's I think there's a lot of truth to it. If you're not used to going 100 miles per hour against real competition with real physicality, and you say, hey, now go do it. We had you in bubble wrap for the last, you know, 4 weeks, and in addition to that, you hadn't played football in a year, but we need you to go be great right now. I think there's some equal risk involved there.
I like that. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm saying you could try to do that in practice, you know, where it's a little bit more controlled. But like I said, the most I would play him would be one series. And you're right, but there is risk there. All of a sudden, you're trying to go from 40 to 100 like that. There's risk involved there, certainly. And you're trying to tackle guys you haven't tackled guys. But that's that fine line, you know, when is too much, when is not enough.
Right.
And you got to try to walk it, and there is no right answer. Because if you do it one way and it doesn't work, if you don't play him at all and Vaughn starts slow, it's like, man,
right.
Should have got him out there,
Vic.
I mean, gosh, we knew it. We told you.
Right.
He hadn't played football in a year. He needed to get out there and do it. And then if he does play and he gets hurt, somebody rolls his ankle, you know, and he's out 4 to 6 weeks or he's out the whole year. Come on, Vic. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
We need Vaughn.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, unless whatever you do works out, you're going to be criticized and there's no right answer. It's a tough decision with all these guys and especially your superstars.
Really interesting conversation. I will say this in conclusion to it, though. I think Vaughn's vote here matters. Him saying, I need to be out there. This guy's been in the league for a long time. If you're the head coach and there is no patently right or wrong way to do it, I think you've got to take his voice into consideration.
I like that.
Okay. All right. We got some news here coming down the pipe.
News
Ooh. About Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
That came out during this segment. We'll pass it along next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.